My brothers and sisters in the Lord, today in the gospel passage from the evangelist St. Luke, we have this wonderful encounter of Jesus and the sinful woman. And in order for us to truly understand and comprehend what is transpiring in this gospel account, I think it's important that we have a little background knowledge to sort of set the stage as the events begin to unfold. We have to remember, my brothers and sisters, that during this particular period of biblical times, it was not uncommon that when a rabbi was invited to dinner in a given town as a guest, even those individuals who did not receive a formal invitation were invited to sit around the perimeter of the room in order to listen to the pearls of wisdom that would come from the mouth of the rabbi. In fact, some individuals would even set up cushions along the perimeter of the room or around the outer courtyard. So the fact that the sinful woman is in the Pharisee's home is not unusual. She would have been joined there by many other individuals who did not receive a formal invitation to sit at the table. And we also have to recall, my brothers and sisters, that during the time of Jesus, they didn't sit in chairs as they dined at table like we do. They actually laid on their belly. Their feet were behind them. They didn't wear sandals when they ate. They used one arm to prop themselves up and the other arm to eat. That's why when the evangelist says that the woman approached Jesus from behind, it was because his feet would have been behind him. That's the stage, that's the scene in which this woman approaches the Lord Jesus. And as she does, my brothers and sisters, we can tell that she is a woman who is heavily burdened. We don't know exactly what she's burdened from. We don't know exactly what her sins may be. But we do know she's carrying a heavy load. Because as the evangelist writes, she begins to cry and her tears are so plentiful that they wash the feet of the Lord. And she uses her hair to dry them. She kisses his feet and she anoints them with the oil or the perfume that she brings in the jar with her. And at that point, certainly, as we hear in the gospel, we have Simon the Pharisee, the host. And he decides it's time to pass judgment. And often, my friends, if we're honest with ourselves, we are like that Pharisee. We see something going on, and we may not know all the facts. And it may not even be any of our business. But we decide we're going to pass judgment. And so he does. He doesn't speak anything. He says it to himself in his heart. If he were really a prophet, if Jesus were really the Messiah, he would know about that woman and that she is a sinner. But Jesus, who is able to see right through us, sees what's going on in the man's heart. And he offers that little parable between the debt and the credit. Those who owe money and those who are to receive it. And he asked Simon, who is going to love more? And Simon even says, the one for whom the greater debt has been reduced or dissolved. And that's where the rubber hits the road, my friends, and truly understanding what is transpiring in this gospel. Jesus says, so I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven because she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. You see, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is making the connection between love and charity and mercy and forgiveness. And what I want to say to you today may shock you a little bit, but follow along. Because I think, my brothers and sisters, if we're truly honest with ourselves, most of us would have to say, including myself, that it is very difficult for us to truly say that we love God. We may reverence God, we may respect God, we may have fear of the Lord, but do we truly love God when he says, with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, and your whole strength? Because you see, my brothers and sisters, to truly love God in that way, it gets right down to the heart. And we can never truly love God as he asks us to, unless we have truly experienced his mercy and his forgiveness. Because only in experiencing the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God, then and only then can we understand why the Word became flesh, why Jesus walked the way of the cross and died on that cross for you and for me for the forgiveness of sins. Only then can we have true gratitude for what God has done for his people. And only then can we love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. You see, my brothers and sisters, there is that great connection. And we only make that connection when we recognize that we are sinners. You've heard me say this before. When Pope Francis was elected, in one of his first papal interviews, they asked him, "Who is Pope Francis?" And what did he say to the interviewer? He said, "I am a sinner." And then he goes to this wonderful analogy in which he says there's a difference. If there was a boy who was drowning in a lake and someone came and told you about the story of a man who saved the boy who was drowning in a lake, there's a difference between that and if you were that boy who was drowning. Because if you were that boy who was drowning, there would be great gratitude for whoever saved you. We were drowning in our sinfulness, in our separation from God, and God wanted to be reconciled with us. You see, my friends, unless we understand that great mercy, we can never understand and truly love God and truly comprehend his great love for us. The woman in the gospel who is a sinner, who is heavily burdened, she recognized she needed a Messiah. She approached Jesus. And she was able to love greatly because she knew no matter what her past was, the Lord Jesus was not passing judgment on her as Simon was. Look at that sinner. But he says to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And what the change it makes, not only in her life, but in the lives of each and every one of us. Because you see, my brothers and sisters, when that happens, and when we truly grasp the mercy of God, and when we go to receive the mercy of God in confession, reconciliation, penance, whatever name you want to use, then and only then can we understand what it means to be washed clean, to have a new start. Mark Twain once wrote that each of us is like the moon. You know, the moon always has a dark side compared to where it is going around the earth. Well, Mark Twain says, like the moon, each of us has a dark side that we don't want anyone else to see. And for some of us, we like to play games with God because we don't even think God can see it. But guess what? He can. And he does. And his invitation is to open that up, whatever it looks like, to the light and mercy of the Lord. And in receiving that mercy, then being able to go forth to truly love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Because you see, my brothers and sisters, we know the change in our life, that new start. Because of our repentance, and repentance means more than being sorry for our sins. That's part of it. But the other part is that there's a firm resolve to change our lives, to not go back to the same old way, but to go along the new path of eternal life. We've all experienced it, hopefully, praise God, in the sacrament of reconciliation. When the priest prays, God, the Father of mercy, through the death and resurrection of your Son, you have reconciled the world to yourself, and you've sent the Holy Spirit amongst us for the forgiveness of sins through the ministry of the church. May God grant you pardon and peace this day, and I absolve you of these and all of your sins. What's the shorter version of that prayer? It's the words of Jesus in the gospel today to the woman. Your sins are forgiven. Go. Your faith has saved you. You see, my brothers and sisters, it gives us a new start. And in giving us a new start, it also helps us to recognize our call to forgive one another. Because if God has shown His great mercy to me, then my response is to be able to go and show God's mercy to whatever it is or whoever it is in my life who has hurt me or offended me or caused me great harm, or to those individuals that I strictly want to go and strangle their neck because they aggravate me to the bone. The call to forgiveness goes forth. And the third thing, my friend, is not only that we know we have a clean slate. Not only do we know that, therefore, we're called to forgive others. But then, when we experience the mercy of God and the healing power of that mercy, then we can truly say we love God with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul, our whole strength. There's a wonderful old story, some of you may have heard it before, about a conductor, a very elderly conductor who was working with both an orchestra and a choir. And they were practicing Handel's Messiah. And it came time for the lead soprano to sing the solo, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives." And she sang it. And everyone in the orchestra and the choir, after she was finished, they were just astounded. She had perfect pitch, perfect pronunciation. They thought it was just wonderful, and they were waiting for the conductor to give her a word of congratulations. But all the old man did is he took his baton and he hit it on the music stand to quiet everyone down. And he walked over to that lead soprano, and this is what he said. He said, "Ma'am?" And she said, "Yes." He said, "Do you really know that your Redeemer lives?" And she says, "Yes." "Do you really believe that your Redeemer lives?" And she says, "Yes, of course." "Then I want you to sing it like you believe it." And so he goes back, and they begin again, and she sings it. And this time, my brothers and sisters, when she sings it, no one's worrying about the pitch or the pronunciation, because there's tears coming from the eyes of the orchestra and the choir. And when she was finished, the conductor went back to her and said, "Now I know that you believe that your Redeemer lives." You see, my friends, unless we experience the mercy of God, unless we seek out that mercy to be reconciled with God, then and only then can we truly say that we love God. Because then we can truly understand what the Lord Jesus has done for each of us through His death and resurrection. May God grant us the grace to go forth from this church seeking the Lord's mercy, being instruments of that mercy to others, and then being able to love God with all our heart, following the path of the disciples.